Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Hey, guys. Back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah. And some waves. So we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
What is up, Ravens fans? Happy Tuesday. We are just getting back to the office after a few wonderful days off for the bye, and boy, are they more fun after a win. I'm so excited to share this week's Purple Chair podcast, where we amplify women in and around the game with you. I'm taking you inside our first ever live podcast taping right here at the Castle with Chanel Smith, wife of Ravens legend Torrey Smith, a mother, educator, coach, and philanthropist. She is a badass in her own right. You'll hear the audience laughing and engaging along with you, and I think this is one of our most unique episodes yet. Let's get to it. Hello. Hi, everyone. Thank you guys so much for being here. I really appreciate you. I got like 3 hours of sleep because I came back with the team from Tampa. So if I don't make any sense, that's why. But I appreciate you all coming so much. Thanks so much to Katie for organizing this. She does a great job with all of our purple events. And Shelby's back there in the control room running all our audio. So I really appreciate her. She helps me with all of these podcasts. And last but not least, we have Chanel Smith, who's our esteemed guest this evening. So let's give it up for her. We'll bring her out. I feel like we need like some music, like Ellen,
do
like walk,
you
walk down. Yeah, there she goes.
Y'all gonna do the cuff it challenge with me later?
Yeah.
I said I'd film it, yeah. Right here. So you all know her. She needs no introduction, but I'm going to give her one anyway. So she's the wife of Ravens legend Torrey Smith, a mother, educator, coach, and philanthropist. So like once again, let's give her one last round of applause. Before
we kick it off. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, let's get started. So you're an athlete in your own right. You were an athlete at the University of Maryland, Division I athlete, obviously. So what was kind of your journey to getting to Maryland?
Oh, so I ran track my entire life. Am I talking to the audience or to you?
Yeah. We're all friends here.
So I ran track my entire life, basically. Indoor, outdoor, cross country, all the things. Hated it, but I was pretty good at it. And so my family, obviously, we didn't have a lot of money, so I knew I had to get to college and I had to pay for it. And so I stuck with it in Maryland. I visited one time and I was like, I'm coming here. So that's how I got there.
So what was it like for you in college, kind of balancing being a student athlete and being a student?
It was tough. In high school, I kind of just got through. I wasn't like the person who was always studying and, you know, I just could do it. And I just was naturally able to get A's on my tests. And so it was fine and it was easy. And then I got to college and we had 6 a.m. hills on Mondays and 8 a.m. class. And I struggled. My first semester, I got my first D ever in life. And then I learned very quickly that I had to make some real adult decisions and go to bed early and, you know, be responsible. And so after I got that D, that was kind of a wake-up call because I hated study hall. And I was able to, you know, I knew I had a job. I had to do, both were equally important. I had to do school and I had to do track. And so I just did what I needed to do.
And that is like basically two full-time jobs.
It was, and then I was working. You know, I was working at night at the Commons. Alexis is here. She knows what the Commons are. So I will work in the Commons at night because as a student athlete, we don't have it nice now where you get money and you know, you can do all these things.
No NIL.
We got our scholarships and that was it. So like weekends, we were kind of on our own with food and all of that. So I had to work. So we were working. I was working, running track, trying to do my best there. And then, trying to do my best in school, so.
So you did outdoor and indoor track, right?
Outdoor and indoor, and we pretty much trained all year. We were training in the fall and the summer. So it was kind of it was a year-round thing.
Yeah, did you have a favorite event?
You know, I hated track, guys, I'm not gonna lie.
Like none of them.
I can't tell you that I loved any of it.
I think people can relate to that. Most people don't enjoy running necessarily.
Yeah, most people don't. But I will tell you, I did, when I was younger, I had to do long distance and I would cry the entire three laps of my races, but my coach made me do it. And then in high school, somebody didn't show up to practice one day or didn't show up to a meet and they let me try hurdles. And I like broke the record on my first, on the first thing. And so I was like, oh, I can do this. I think the hurdles were kind of a distraction from the pain.
Yeah.
So
you just focus on jumping over them.
Yeah, so I loved hurdles and I grew to love it. And the reason why I hated it, I have bad anxiety, which I didn't know until I was an adult that I really like, this is a real thing. But I would get so nervous that I would like psych myself out of everything. And so I didn't have the mental toughness that I needed, but I did my best. I practiced. I would kill everybody at practice, and then the meets would come, and I would freak out. But I still was pretty good. Someone just broke my record in college last year.
Oh,
so,
wow.
So that goes down.
That's a hurdle record?
Yeah.
I tried hurdles one time in high school track, and I think I, like, pushed one over.
It's not something that everyone should try, right? We see some of those YouTube videos of the girls going down real quick.
Yeah. So we're in college at this point. How did you and Tori meet?
So Tori and I met... I had just gotten out of a really long relationship, and I didn't really, like, live my college experience, so I was just calling myself having fun, and I saw him one night at the bar, and I was like, oh, he's cute, and I was just, like, being super extra, not myself, and I probably made him uncomfortable, but we didn't end up talking then, and then after I got out of my relationship, I was just out more. I was living life. And so we saw each other a lot more. We saw each other at a party and kind of flirted then. He swears that I was like way more interested than he was, which was not true.
They all say.
He's such a faker. So we just started being like, he was at a point of his life that I didn't know that he was really struggling with stuff at home. I had just gotten out of this relationship. And so we just were really good friends. And we honestly probably for 5-6 months, we were together every day, every night, and we swore this was nothing. and Tori would make it a point to tell me, like, yeah, you're on my top five. Like, he would, right? So I kind of, like, played into it, even though there was no time to be with anybody else, but that's fine. So I would just make him, like, if he called me, I would make him call me, like, 3 times before I answered. And then we finally were like, what are we doing here? And we made a decision that we'll make it official.
So when did you, when do you think you both knew, like, okay, like, this is the one?
That's a hard one. So when he was entering, when he decided to enter, to leave school early and enter for the draft, I was like, oh yeah, I didn't sign up for this. I'm not that type of person. Like, I can't deal with too many things. He made it very clear, like, no, I want to do this. And he met my, you know, we went home, he met my family. I met his family, and then I just asked straight up, like, what do you want to do? Because we were at the point then where if we would have split, I wouldn't have cried. It would have been like, oh, that's sad. But it wouldn't have been like, end of the world.
Like, maybe.
You know, it was at that point where it could go either way at this point. And so we just decided to do it. We enjoyed each other's company. We had fun, so.
So what is that time like then that there's so many eyeballs? Like, you're kind of thrust into spotlight at that point. Like, you're going through the draft process. You're also kind of, like, figuring out your relationship together. Like, what is that time like?
It wasn't as bad for us because we went to Maryland. So, like, I had a friend's, like, my base of friends were here. I didn't go through the whole, like, having to move across the country.
Right.
We kind of, like, joked that if he didn't go to the Ravens, then we would decide because I wasn't moving. I just started teaching. Like, I wasn't going to uproot my life and because I had so much going on. and so we kind of, like, our relationship was on, like, ice at that point. Like, what are we going to do? And then when he got drafted to Ravens, we're like, oh, this was meant to be. Like, this was, yeah. You know, it all worked out, so.
And that doesn't happen that often, like a Maryland player going to the Ravens. So
it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It was kind of crazy.
So are you still dating at that point?
We're together at that point. Yeah, we're definitely together at that point.
So when did and how did he propose?
It was in true Tory fashion. So we had a photo shoot that he had with our dogs at the time, and this was normal. He does photo shoots all the time. And so we had a photo shoot, and he told me to come. I just was coming, and my aunt was encouraging, my friend was encouraging me to get dressed. I'm like, why am I getting dressed for his photo shoot? And so she was like making a big deal, and I'm like, you know, I don't wear makeup and do all the things, so I looked very basic that day too. And so I went to the photo shoot, and they were like, oh, Chanel, jump in a couple pictures. Mind you, Tory has on like a nice shirt at the top, sweatpants, and dress shoes. Like, it was like all the things in one picture. So there was no thought in my mind, but the week before, 2 weeks before, someone had said, and wasn't supposed to obviously, said, you know, Tory's gonna propose to you soon. And we were at the point, it was a little girl. It wasn't like an adult. She didn't know any better.
We're all like, how dare they?
But I remember, like, we weren't in the point of a relationship where it was like, this is obvious. Mm-hmm. Like, it was probably a little rocky. We were dealing like a lot of family stuff and just like new NFL stuff and all that thing. So it wasn't like the time that I would expect it. But this little girl had mentioned it to me at dinner at Jimmy's. And I was like, what? Like, whatever, you know, whatever. I kept going. So when he, did he even get down on one knee?
Yes, he got down.
He did, okay. So I try to block it out because I was so awkward. I try to block it out. So he, in his sweatsuit situation, he got down on one knee and he just asked me. And I remember being like, what? Like, and I think in my head I had like, this little girl had just told me, it was just really, and I am awkward with like emotions. So it was just really awkward. I was just like, what? Are you serious? Stop playing. I kept saying, and I think I was using other words, but I was like, stop playing. And then I was like, yes. It was so awkward. I'm sorry to disappoint you guys, but it wasn't cute. It wasn't like, I wasn't like crying and like, oh my gosh. It was so, I just remember being, because I, like Tory, I was always in a relationship, guys. I was a relationship girl. But that was the first relationship where I felt like, this is how it's supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And it was weird for me that he, in this moment, was like asking me to be with him forever. And I was like, this is not real life. Like, this doesn't happen, you know?
Yeah.
And I think at that time, I didn't think that I was like worthy to be a wife. So I think that was like all the emotions was just like, it was just real weird and awkward. And like, I didn't say like when I was little, like, I'm going to be, you know, have this wedding and it's going to be so pretty. I just wasn't that girl. So the whole moment was awkward, but I said yes. And then, you know, it was
fun.
So
did the little girl actually know, or did she just like happen?
No, she did know. So he had told her mom. And she told, I guess she was around.
She was the rat.
I hope she doesn't see this. She didn't forgive herself, but I was like, it's fine. Like,
well, you don't have to take like something that some little kid seriously.
Yeah, no, I didn't take her seriously at all, you know, so.
So like, as you're newlyweds and he's kind of figuring out the NFL and you're figuring out being married, like, what is that time period like for you guys?
So after we got engaged, I think, this is years, dang, we've been almost 10 years.
Going back.
After we got engaged, we were still like setting boundaries with family, and like we were like going through real stuff at that time. Nothing relationship ending, but it was enough to be like, we got to figure this out before we even think about getting married. Mm-hmm. And then I guess I was getting on his nerves, so he was like, can we just get married this summer? And I was like, what, in 3 months? Like, you're crazy, whatever. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you can spend how much you want on the wedding if you get, we do it this summer. And I was like, okay. And so we got married that summer. So it happened kind of fast. But you know, he's come from a single family household. You know, his mom, he has a lot of siblings. He was taking care of everybody. There were just a lot of things that, like, when we get married, like, things are gonna have to change a little bit. Yeah. And so that 3 month quick period was like a learning period for us. We did a lot of like work. We did our premarital, you know, therapy and all that. And then we got married. It was great.
You pulled it off in 3 months.
That's it was incredible. So lit. Y'all remember the pictures. It was
like, that's
really
what everyone wants people to say about their wedding. Is that absurd?
Yeah, so I thought I would be the person, especially, we were both, I don't want to say cheap, we're frugal, but we don't like to spend a lot of money. So everything we did was like, when did we get married, 2013? We won the Super Bowl in 2012. Mm-hmm. It just so happened that we had just won the Super Bowl. So everybody was like, oh, we'll do this for you. We'll do this. We'll do this. And we were like, we'll post it for you. We'll, you know.
Yeah.
And so it was like a lot of trade-offs. So our wedding was like, should have been double the price that it was. But because we had so many connects. So it was memorable. It wasn't like, we didn't regret spending that money. So
that's quite the year, coming off the Super Bowl and then you get married.
And then we went right at it and got pregnant. I got pregnant like the next month.
A lot of life
changes. A lot. Isn't it crazy? People crazy. Honestly thought that we got married sooner because I was pregnant. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you don't know how to do math.
So. That's a crazy year, though. That's a lot of life changes. So let's go back to the Super Bowl. What was that time like for you? Like, he hasn't even been in the NFL for that long at that point, and you won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think we kind of were spoiled because the first year we went, we almost made it to the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And then the next year we were in it, so we were just having fun living life. And it was a lot. It was hard then too, because like everybody, we're young, he's young, and he's like, oh, the whole family comes to the Super Bowl, and then like you just learn. Yeah. The second Super Bowl wasn't the same.
We
learned just so many things with money and family and life. And at that time, we were struggling a lot because it wasn't cool to bring your girlfriend anywhere. It wasn't cool. We were going through the phase where we came out of college and we were at the club together, partying all the time. And now it's not cool to bring your girlfriend to the club. And so we had to navigate all the new rookie stuff. Mm. And then we went through a phase of like, oh, when I first came, it was like, oh, everybody wears heels to the game. I don't even own a pair of heels.
We don't do that. We're just talking before we come up here. Heels is a no.
So I did this for you guys. I don't usually.
And we're sitting, so
I don't
that's
usually
strategic.
Wear heels,
yeah.
But I remember being like, "Is this like every week?" So I think it was a cool experience. The team was great. That Super Bowl team was just like the family forever. But lots of different personalities, lots of different things. So just Tory finding who he was in the grand scheme of like everyone has all these nice cars and all the things. Yeah. He's in Crocs every day, like. And then we did go through a period where we felt like we had to like do these things. And then I think after the Super Bowl, we were just like, yeah, this is not us. Like, yeah. It's cool. We can just be who we are. And it was great from there.
It's like a keeping up with the Joneses kind of thing. Like everyone else is doing it. Like, so there's that pressure.
Is this what we're supposed to be doing?
Yeah.
And then, so like Tory brought a chain his first year, got this car. He wore it like twice. And we were like, see, this is not who we are. Mm-hmm. So he like sold the chain back. We didn't have the chain anymore. He goes to the practice in Crocs and Mitch. It's really trifling what he does. He's at least I match when I leave the house. He would come to the locker room in anything. And the guys gave him a lot of slack for it. But
well, I feel like that's part of like becoming an adult, no matter like who you are, is kind of like finding your own way and like figuring out like who you're going to be. And that's just kind of on a grander scale when you're doing it in the NFL.
Yeah. And then I started going back to the club with him. He was comfortable with me going to the club with him. And so it all worked out from there.
So we talked about, you know, coming out of college, you guys were local. And so obviously it works out well that you're staying here in with the Ravens. But what about when he leaves? So in free agency, he goes to the 49ers. What is that like as you kind of... I mean, that's probably about as far away as it can be. So what is that like?
So for us, I think I had just had TJ, and I had stopped teaching. So we knew the whole family was going. But that was a critical period for us where, like, we were dealing with a lot of outside stuff. And because most of you guys know Tory was very, you know, in the community. We were always in the community, like, very accessible. That break was, like, lovely. And so it came at a perfect time where it was like we went straight from college to being didn't have kids yet, but we were always taking care of someone was always with us. And so being across the country and people have to fly to you and they have to pay to fly to you it was a great, it wasn't great on the field 2 year break, but it was a too good, just for our family, it was a good break.
Because then it's just really like the three of you at
that was
point.
It. Yeah, yeah, that was it.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
That's awesome. So, okay, then let's fast forward. It goes to the Eagles. Next big move. Obviously wins a second Super Bowl there. So what was that time like, and which Super Bowl was better? Tough crowd.
You in a room. No, y'all are crazy. You're not gonna set me up like that. So when we came back to the Eagles, I'm from outside of Philly.
Okay.
So I thought that I was gonna hate my life. Because, like, just yeah. Everyone asking for tickets and this and this and this and this. And surprisingly, like, had the best time in this little tiny apartment in Philly, being able to see my family every day. I'm coaching track now. I'm, like, doing all the things I love. I've helped with the kids. We had 2 kids at that time now. Had help with the kids. The team was great. And the crazy thing is, all teams are great. And all people are great. But there is something special when you get with a team. Like that year, it felt like our Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. Like the mm-hmm. just the vibe, just the teammates, like everything felt just like this is supposed to happen with
right.
this team.
Right.
And kind of like the Ravens were like things were just happening that it was like this, it was meant for us to go to Super Bowl this year. That's kind of how it felt with that team. So it was really cool. But nothing will ever top the feeling here that we had. So
that's awesome. So you mentioned that your family was expanding at that time, and when you were pregnant with Cam, I believe you had the complicated pregnancy that the two of you decided that you were going to share publicly, you know, share your story to help other people. So what kind of went into your decision for that to be something that you decided to share? Because obviously that's not something you have to share publicly.
Right. I think since we were always so public and the community, like, people always warned us to, like, don't put everything on social media, but people didn't understand the connection we had with mm-hmm. the community. Like, no, these are our people. Like when we go places, it's not like, well, they did say, oh my gosh, Torrey Smith. But after that, it was like, you know, just normal interactions. And so I kind of felt like I was holding in a secret, like going through it all. And then once I don't know what I posted, and something, I think someone might have DM'd me and said something that they were going through. And I was like, crap, and mind you, TJ, the pregnancy with TJ was amazing. I thought pregnancy is easy. Like, this is like the easiest thing ever. And so when Cam happened, it never dawned on me that things could go wrong. Mm. And so hearing other people talk about it, I was like, you just never know who else is dealing with stuff.
Right.
And once I put it public and people were, you know, praying for us, and it wasn't the type of thing where it was like, I thought it was fake. I felt the genuine support. And so from there, I think I just had to keep sharing, because more and more people would DM me like, I'm dealing with the same exact thing right now. Or we would meet people like, hey, you know, didn't have the same outcome as us. And like, just sharing those things, you realize people go through it way more. And I had no idea so many people dealt with it, so.
Yeah, and it helps cool. other people to like see someone else experiencing something similar, I'm sure.
Yeah, it was scary because we were in grad school at the time and we were seeing a genetic doctor, and every time my phone would ring with that 410 number, like my heart would like, I like didn't want to answer the phone because she was giving me the results of this next test that we took. And so it was scary. It was really, really scary during that time. But the last time she called me and whatever the test was, I can't even, I like block it. it was negative for whatever it was. And I remember just like being so relieved and like really thinking back to all the hundreds and thousands of people who prayed for us. And I was like, that's awesome.
And that's a special part of that community that you've built because you've been so public, is that you do have those people supporting you and behind you at a time like that. That's really special.
Yeah, it was really cool.
So like we're talking, you do share your lives publicly and fans get to see kind of, you know, a unique perspective at all the different personalities in your household. And you built this, you have this really unique community that you built on Instagram. I know you guys did a lot during COVID with like Zooms and all that. So why was that important to you guys to do?
COVID brought a lot of people together, which was cool. But in terms of sharing, I feel like, especially early on, I was also the person who would go to Instagram and be like, oh my gosh, this person is the perfect mom. And oh my gosh, the lunches are so cute. And the house is clean, and she's cooking for her husband. Like, I thought I was failing because you go on social media and you see all the things and it just looked great. And I was like, I used to always ask Tori, why is it so hard for me? Like, what am I doing wrong? And at that time too, I thought getting help was like a negative thing. Like being a super mom was like the badge of honor. Mm-hmm. And I just was like, this is fake. Like, I'm not about to act like, you know, and so I try, for me, because I know how much I struggle with it, and it was a process. I had to grow to be comfortable with, like, I'm not the best cook, and that's okay. Like, I don't like cooking, you know, and so, but I'm really good at teaching my kids, and like, so I tried to focus on my strengths, and that helped me realize that some people do have it all together. There are some people who can do everything. It's cool. That's great. I don't want to do everything. That's what I realized. Like, I don't want to cook, clean, teach my kids, make cute lunch. I don't want to do all those things. Like, I want to teach my kids and do the stuff that I love to do and that I'm good at. And when I started focusing on that, I started to realize, like, oh, everybody thinks. Mm-hmm. I would meet people like, you are such an amazing mom. Like, I don't know how you do it all. I'm like, I don't. Like, I can't. Like, do you not? So I thought it was, I honestly still feel that it's my duty to, like, show it all. And I'm like, if you watch my Instagram and you think that I have a perfect life, I'm failing because I don't know what you're looking at. So, you know, I think that that's important because it is so easy to get caught up in what everyone else is doing and comparing your life to other people's lives.
Totally. And like they always say, comparison's the thief of joy.
Absolutely.
You know? It's everyone else's highlight reel, but
everybody. And that's, and because also I knew a lot of people who looked extremely happy on social media, and I knew like they were going through crazy stuff, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can imagine how many people are like this. Mm-hmm. And everybody thinks it's perfect and it's not even close. Relationship goals, like the people I have relationship goals for, I'm like, they go through the same crap that we go through. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, so, and it's easy just to like want more and think that your life is not good enough because of social media. So
totally. So we're talking about kind of like your social media community, but you guys have also done really hands-on work, and especially in this Baltimore community. You started the Level 82 Fund together. So how did that come about, and what does that focus on?
So it was the Tori Smith Family Fund, and then we switched over to Level 82. But we've always been about really just helping kids. That's where it started. And now we're really focused on like the entire family. And we realized we can help the kids all we want, but if we're not helping, you know, when they go home, it's the same situation. Mm-hmm. Then we're not really doing our job. And so I had a love from teaching and just how I grew up. My family always needed support. If I didn't have my coaches and my mentors and all that, I wouldn't be where I am today. Same thing for Tori. Like, his family always needed support. So we just, that's God, because the two of us coming together and having that type of passion for it, it could be a lot. Like, we give a lot, and I think that God knew what he was doing when he put us together. But also, like, we have to, like, balance each other because we do so much for the community. We're like, we got to remember to keep each other. We still have to, like, deal with our family, too. So it's a big balance. So now we have Hilton Rec in West Baltimore, and that's kind of like, now, instead of doing, everyone gives us calls, like, can you come do this? Sorry, we have the rec center. Like, that's where we do all our work, and it's been a lot easier to say no to other stuff because we realize you can do a bunch of little stuff everywhere, but that's not helping anything if you're just spreading yourself all over and giving everybody a little bit. Just focus on this, you know, this one group for now.
Right.
And then if we can, you know, go from there, we can.
And I feel like an underrated piece of that too is the amount of like time and energy you put in like your own children's programming, like with their youth sports and kind of like investing in those as well.
Yeah, so that's what I'm dealing with now. I have two of my rec mommies and grandmommies here. They know summertime, last summer was the first year we did the full summer program, and I was kind of killing myself because I'm coaching in Pennsylvania, running a rec center, and trying to be a decent mom and wife. And that kind of like was too much. And then this summer I was like, the only way we do this is if my kids can come to camp with us. So kids came to camp with us, so it was beautiful, it was great. But now like I had to make the hard decision because we were doing the after school program. I'm like, I have to be home for my kids after school. So I had to find that balance of like doing both. And there's certain times when I'm there every day, and the past, 3 weeks, I haven't been there at all. So it's a tough balance to like take care of home and then take care of your other home, because the other home is my baby, they're my babies too. Right. And when I show up, their kids, Danny and Terrell, fish it out! And it makes me so happy. But it's hard. It's hard to do both.
And you can't be everywhere at once.
Can't be everywhere at once.
So I had some help from my girl Shelby in the back there. I had her ask Tori to 3 words to describe you.
You said all. I'm like, oh gosh.
I'm gonna give his 3 for you, and then I want 3 for him. Oh. So I'll let you start thinking about it. So Tori's 3 for Chanel are selfless, dependable, and indecisive.
Fair.
Is that fair?
So fair. Fair. That's fair.
Okay, what would your 3 for him be?
All right, let me give the good ones first. He said I'm dependable. He's extremely dependable. Loyal. I feel like I get one bad one because he gave me one bad one. Stubborn. Okay. Look, y'all saying yes, they know.
The audience is like, uh-huh.
Stubborn.
So now that he's like officially retired from playing, what like how does that change life?
You know, I thought it was going to be...
Like it doesn't.
I had it all twisted because I really thought that we were just going to be living life for once. Like we were going to be chilling, going on vacation sometimes. Yeah. Soon as he retired, the next month he's like, oh, we're about to buy this building for this rec center. And I was like, whoa, just like, you just got done last month. Like let's enjoy life. Like let's chill. And... November, we were signing a lease for the rec center. So, like, things have got, we've been the most busiest now than ever before.
Well, that's kind of like you said before, like, the two of you so much want to do everything good that it's kind of have to, like.
We need somebody to say no. Like, I was the one, I'm driving to Pennsylvania every week to coach track for free. Like, this is what I'm choosing to do. Mm-hmm. He's choosing to do 7-on-7, and like we're doing all these things, and then the rec center is just so much that I told him I wish we would have just paused if we could do it over. But oh, that's the other word, impulsive.
We got 4.
That's the word. That's the main word. When he puts his mind on something, it's like we got to do this tomorrow. And I'm like, so many people don't know this, but we're moving, and he's found this house. The next like week, he's like, are you ready? I'm like, 1 week? But when he wants something and he sees something, he goes for it. And he doesn't listen to me all the time.
They say opposites attract. So he said you're indecisive and then he's impulsive.
He's very...
So meet in the middle somewhere.
That's exactly right. We need a middleman.
Why was Baltimore where you guys decided long term? Obviously, you've jumped around city to city, especially when he was playing. So why was Baltimore like the right fit?
A couple of reasons. One, this is our base since we met in Maryland, and then most of our friends are here, and we became adults here. It's midway between Pennsylvania and Virginia, which is perfect. Parents got to drive 2 hours to get to us. And then the main reason was because of the community work. Like, we always said we weren't going to just start something, leave, and then just because we're on a different team, we're never coming back. So we made that commitment, and we're sticking to it. So
that's awesome.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. I have one last thing for you before we take some fan questions here. This is our little purple hot seat, quick little game of this or that. So this, you guys are going to groan at this one too. The favorite team Tori has played on?
Ravens, easily.
Favorite NFL stadium? This could be on the road, so you can't pick.
Stadium?
M&T Bank.
I didn't go to a lot of away games, so I really, who had the best food? You know, I will say, I did like San Fran. I did like San Fran and Carolina only because it took me 5 minutes to get there. This traffic, it's not fun.
Terps win or Ravens win?
It's not hard, guys. I'm a bad alum, so I barely watch Terps games, but Ravens.
Perfect. And football or track?
Surprisingly, I'm crazy. Now that TJ's playing football, football all the way.
Well, and she said she didn't really like track earlier. So.
I like coaching it, but like football gets me like super excited. I
love that.
But you know what? I didn't like football when Tori played. I had, because I had really bad anxiety. Anytime Flacco would throw the ball like long, I knew it was going to Tori and I would like close my eyes.
Worked out most of the time though, we'll say. Right, grab these fan questions for you.
Oh gosh.
Thank you. All right, the first one, ooh, I like this. What was your favorite or most memorable charity event you've taken part in?
Ooh, charity event. It's not an event, but our summer camp is so lit. Like, I love our summer camp.
It's awesome. Out of all your children, ooh, I like this. Which one reminds you of yourself? We got Coco up here. Hello, wave. Why?
She's crazy. She's she has my, like, she's so goofy. She's a goofy little girl. She's the only thing she, I don't know where she got this from. She's like really girly on one side. So that's always a struggle. But she's super goofy, stubborn. And she's just cool. She's a dope little girl.
That's awesome. So cute. All right, and the last one is, what's your favorite memory of the Ravens outside the Super Bowl?
Outside of the Super Bowl? Outside of the Super Bowl. I don't have, like, a particular memory. It's just, like, the girls were amazing. Like, we did Bible study together. We did so many things together. I do remember the Halloween party that Webb and Toya threw. That was fun. I don't know. I'm bad with that.
No, that
I didn't go out much, guys. I really stayed in the... I was bad on all teams with, like, participating in activities. I'm a homebody. I always stayed home.
Well, and when you have kids, it's, like, a lot.
And then when I had the kids, it got worse and worse on each team.
All right, well, perfect. Thank you so much, Chanel, for the time.
Thank you.
It was great. Give it up. And thank you all so much for coming. Hopefully we'll do this again sometime.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Chanel is so funny, and if you're not already following her and her family's antics on Instagram at ChanelSmith_22, you're missing out. Speaking of antics, want to catch y'all up on my favorite road trip of the year as we were in New Orleans right before the bye week. A big dub on Monday Night Football, and it was even more special for me because NOLA is where I got my start. Right out of college, I interned for the New Orleans Saints and Pelicans. They have the same ownership, so their staffs work for both teams. It was so fun for me right out of college to A, be living in the Big Easy, and B, get experience in the NBA and NFL in 1 year. I owe where I am today to my two bosses, Alex Restrepo and Doug Tatum, for believing in me and giving me opportunities both in social and on air at the young age of 22. That organization will always hold a special place in my heart. My fiancé was also able to make the trip with the Ravens corporate sales team, so it was extra fun for him to get to meet my friends and experience the city with me. And now we're back from the bye week, refreshed and recharged to finish this season out strong. I'm really excited about our next guest on the podcast, as we'll be joined by first-year defensive coordinator Mike McDonald's wife, Steph, to talk about the crazy year that they've had. And she's actually a former Ravens cheerleader, so she has a really unique perspective on the organization. Don't forget to leave us a rating and review if you're enjoying the podcast. Subscribe and tell all your friends. I'll talk to you soon.
Hey,
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, ah, yeah. Love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Turns out, a delightfully clean home can make for a delightful start to the day. At Mrs. Meyer's, everything they make is inspired by the garden. With plant-derived and other thoughtfully chosen ingredients, their cleaning products smell like a dream and work like the dickens, leaving your home sparkly clean and your to-do list tackled in no time. Goodness, there's no better feeling than that. Mrs. Meyer's, rooted in goodness. Visit MrsMeyer's.com today.